Book of John, chapter number 10. It's a privilege to be here this evening. I'm thankful for another year that's come and gone, 2025. Never thought I would see it, honestly. But I'm thankful for another opportunity that we get to worship Him and praise Him and try to win some people for the Lord. John chapter number 10, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So I don't know how to title this, but what I want to preach on tonight is finding pasture, or the good shepherd. So we look here and we see in verse number 1 and in verse number 8, when Christ is explaining it, he points out that there are people and religions that claim that they are God, that they are God or of God, or that their religion will get them to some version of heaven. You have all these different iterations of heaven that man-made religion has created, such as Nirvana or Valhalla. Yeah. So many have claimed to be the right way, but there's only one way to heaven.
Right. Yeah.
And as we see, the others who claim to be the way are thieves and robbers.
Right.
They are liars who are trying to steal your life. There is only one way to find pasture, and that is through the shepherd.
Amen.
First, I want to look at these things we see about the shepherd. In verse number 2, it says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Entereth in by the door. In Revelations chapter 3, verse 20, I'll just read it real quick. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." To find pasture, there must be salvation. Here in Revelation 3, verse 20, we see that Christ is at the door. He's standing at the door and he's knocking because he's wanting in.
Right.
Amen.
And this is a picture of Christ at our own heart's door.
Right.
He wants to come into your heart.
Amen.
That knocking is a sign of conviction. When I was under conviction, I remember the anxious feeling of my heart, feeling as if it was beating out of my chest. And that was God knocking on my heart's door. He was wanting to come in. But he cannot just walk in. We have to let him enter. We have to ask him in. He will come in and sup with us. The shepherd, the way unto pasture, is he who entereth in by the door. The door is the way, the entry point to salvation. Verse number 7, Christ says that he is the door. He enters by salvation, but he himself is salvation. He is the access unto salvation. He comes by the way. He made the way, and he is the way. Verse number 11 and verse number 12, he's saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In verse number 10, he also says that he's giving life more abundantly. He's made that way. He is the way, and he's given it to us more abundantly. Now we see in verse number 3, it says, to him the porter openeth. And I thought this was just a quick, cool picture. I don't know how else to describe it, but it says porter. Porter means one who carries burdens. It was a sacred office held by a Levite, and it was to be the doorkeeper to the tabernacle or temple. There were also porters who were gatekeepers, and their task would be to carry messages into the city. So this porter, he's opening the door to the shepherd, and it's a great picture of how Christ is also the porter. He is the one who will carry our burdens, and he's going to bring our prayers to God, and he has become the doorkeeper when he made the way. Not only that, we see in verse number 3, it says, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep, those who are his, those who are his sheep, know his voice. The voice of God is distinguishable for those who know him and call him master. His will and his guidance are recognized by those who know his voice. And God speaks to us in different ways, but mainly through the word of God we're reading right now. Not only that, in verse number 3, it says, and he calleth his sheep by name.
Yeah.
And leadeth them out. Yeah. He calleth them by name. God knows who are his by name. Yeah. When I was saved, God wrote my name in the book of life.
Yeah. Right.
My name is written in the book of life. He knows Benjamin Joseph Panther. He knows all about me. Yeah. The God of the universe, the creator, the Alpha and Omega, the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent. The Savior of the world knows my name. He made me his child. I have a seat at the king's table. He has special interest in me. He talks with me. He blesses me beyond measure. A speck of dirt that has become the bride of the King of all glory. God knows my name. He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He is in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small, and he knows my name.
Yeah.
Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine because he knows my name. Not only that, we see in verse number 4, it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
Right.
So it says he goeth before him, before them. So we see that he leadeth by being our example. He leads by example. We follow because we know his voice. His example is in the word of God, should speak to the saved and be our guide. All that we could go through, Christ has been the example for us to follow.
Amen.
And I'm going quick through this, but verse number 11 is our last point. Verse number 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So the last quality of this good shepherd is that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep.
Right.
The good shepherd, to tie it all back around, he gives his life for the sheep. He is the way unto salvation. He is how we find pasture because he laid down his life willingly. He gave up his life on the cross so that we could be saved.
Amen.
Eternal life with him is possible because of his sacrifice.
Amen.
So may I ask you today, are you looking for pasture? Is he knocking at your door? Who is that knocking? Calling and seeking, who is that troubling my soul? Surely 'tis Jesus, asking and pleading, wanting to make you whole.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bless your heart. Amen. Good preaching. That was good, wasn't it?
Amen.
John 10 is by far one of my favorite chapters. I love John chapter number 10. And it gave me great assurance. I'll just say that.
Amen.
It gave me great assurance about my salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Amen. Well, I'm not good at watching the clock, so I'm going to set my stopwatch, okay?
Amen.
Set timer for 15 minutes.
15 minutes, counting down.
Okay, thank you. All right. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about there's kind of the same line in which Ben was speaking. God chooses messages, you know, when we have these kind of things. God knows what's going to be preached. And so tonight my message is, who are you following? That is the question. Who are you following? I mean, you know, we say, well, we're Christians. Surely we're following the Lord. But you know what? Many, many Christians are not really following the Lord. They want to present a picture that to the church that they are, but the truth is they are not really following the Lord. So the question is, who are we following? Who am I following? Who are you following? In Genesis chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to be relating some stories, and you can follow it in the Bible if you want. But in Genesis chapter 5, I think it's beginning about verse 21, we read about a man named Enoch. And Enoch, the Bible said, Enoch followed God. Enoch walked. He said he walked with God, and he said that Enoch was not, for God took him. He followed God closely, but he started. The Bible says that when he was 65 years old, he had a son, and his name was the oldest one on record. His name was Methuselah, right? Methuselah, that's right. His name was Methuselah, and Methuselah. After Enoch had a son, his wife brought birth to Methuselah. Enoch was 65 years old. But it doesn't say that Enoch walked with God before Methuselah was born. Now, he could have, but the Bible didn't say that he did. But it does tell us that Enoch lived approximately 300 more years. But during that time, he walked with God, and we know that Enoch was not, for God took him, and he's a picture of the rapture, but God took him because they were so close. God took him, and it's a picture of the church being raptured out. But then we look at another, Methuselah lived 969 years. But you know what? The Bible does not say anything about Methuselah other than he lived to be 969 years old. It doesn't say that he followed God. There's nothing recorded in 969 years of his life that would say that he did anything for God. Now, he could have been saved just as Enoch. I pray he was. He knew God, I pray. But his dad followed the Lord. But we don't see any evidence that he did. Now, he could have. But, you know, a lot of people, so your parents, especially if you're young and your parents want you to serve the Lord, and they want you to live for God, and they try to be a good example in front of you, and they pray for you, but yet it's up to you personally to make a decision as to who you're going to follow. We can't follow after someone else who follows God. No, that doesn't the way it works. Each one of us needs to develop a relationship with God and follow God. And let's look at another story here. In Genesis chapter 12, we read about Abram. And Abram had been told by God to leave his country and his kindred, and he'd been told to go to the land of Canaan, and that there he would be made a great nation by God. And that God would bless him and make his name great, and he would make a covenant with him. And God said that he would bless those who blessed him, and that he would curse those that cursed him. And that Abraham, as we know, is the father of the Jews. That's still true of the Jewish nation today. God will bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. And so when we vote, we want to vote for the people in our nation who will stand for the nation of Israel, who will recognize Israel as the nation that God has chosen, and will recognize Israel as the people of God. Although they're a wicked, evil nation, yet they are the Jewish nation to which God had set aside. He chose them and separated them from the world in the Old Testament. So we need to recognize them. But there, he said, "And these shall all all nations of the earth be blessed." Abraham departed, and his nephew, notice he had a nephew, Lot, that went with him. And Abram was 75 years old, the Bible said, when he departed out of Haran. And he took his wife, and he took Sarah, his wife, and all of his herdsmen and his cattle and his belongings, and he went to the land of Canaan as God had commanded him to do. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said for him, he said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." Look at verse 7 there. Look at 12 and verse 7, Genesis 12, 7. If you haven't underlined it in your Bible, okay? Draw a little mark there. God doesn't mind if you mark in the Word to help you. It said, "And there," what did he say? He built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So he built him an altar. And then in verse 8 he said, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain unto the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, and having Bethel on the east, hay on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord." So we see here in verse 7 and 8, if we are going to follow God, what are we going to do? We need to pray, don't we? We need to talk to him. Hey, if you love your spouse and you are with each other and you try to help each other and you work together, you don't get much done if you don't talk to each other, do you? The same is true if you are a praying person and you talk to God. That's the way we get things done. Prayer changes things. And so what happened there? Then note that a famine came on that land. And Abram went down to Egypt, which he should not have done. When God sent a famine, what does that mean? God's testing faith. God tests our faith. And a famine was used in the Old Testament to test faith. It was also used for judgment. It was also, when God tests your faith and mine, what's God trying to do? God already knows our faith. He already knows where we are. But he wants us, through his test, to see where we are. And so Abram went down to Egypt, and before he entered into to Egypt, he said unto his wife, he said, "Behold," I like this part. He said, "Now I know that thou art a fair woman." In other words, he said, "You're pretty. You're a pretty woman. And you're pretty to look upon. And therefore, it shall come to pass that when the Egyptians see that you, they'll say, 'This is his wife.' And they will kill me," he said. "They'll kill me. But they'll take you because you're a beautiful woman. But he said, you say to them that you are my sister for my sake. And so Pharaoh found out eventually that he had been deceived because he found out that Abram's wife was Sarah. He found that out, and he'd been with her. And so in anger, he sent them out, but he did give them lots of herdsmen and cattle and riches, silver and gold and all those things. Yeah. He gave them all that, and they went out. And they went back to Bethel. And remember, if you look in your footnote, maybe if you got a Scofield or you got a Bible with a footnote, maybe it'll tell you that Bethel means house of God. They went back to the house of God. He went back to where he should have been. He went back to the altar where he was before. He'd gotten away from God, and Egypt is a picture of going back to the world, isn't it? And then what happened? Strife developed eventually between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram, and they all had a big dispute, and they settled it by going their separate ways. And they chose to separate, and of course Lot, you know, went into the plains because it was well watered, and what it looked like the land of Egypt where he had followed his uncle into. It looked like that land, and that's where he went. And when he went there, he noticed he got into trouble there. Lot did. And a lot of bad things happened to Lot. But my point is simply to this. Who was Abram, his uncle, following? He was following God, wasn't he? He was following, like we should be doing, following God. But who was Lot following? Well, he was following Abram for a while. But, you know, then he went his own way. But see what happens. You know, when we follow someone instead of following God, that's not going to work. Eventually, there's going to be a separation, or there's going to be some problem that's going to come up. And if we're not following God, and we're grown, and we're not following Christ as we should, the Good Shepherd, we're going to be going astray a lot of times because you know, it's bad to say that so many Christians today are carnal. They're saved, but yet they're not really following God. And sad to say that there may be more carnal Christians than more true Christians who are following Christ. And so we want to be careful that we're on the right side. I can think of many examples in my life. I haven't always followed Christ. And even since I've been saved, I've had some up and down times. I'm glad to know that if I follow Christ, I'm going to stay on the right path. He's not going to lead me astray. He's going to help me all the way. I had a very dear pastor friend of mine. He and I was in his church, and I was really blessed. We had a good assembly there, and God was working, souls getting saved, missionaries supported, all kinds of good things happened. And when we were praying, God was moving, and it was just a wonderful experience. But then all of a sudden, it went dry. Wow. And I'm like, what happened? What happened? So I fell on my knees and prayed. I was asking God. I'd go to the altar about every service and cry out to God, why is it drying up? Why? If you know, and you got any spirituality about you at all, when something like that happens, you know the power's gone off. You know that something's wrong. But at any rate, my pastor came in one Sunday morning, and he confessed that he'd been having an extramarital affair and that he needed to step down out of the ministry and that he would no longer be our pastor. Well, I began to weep immediately. I left that assembly weeping, and I got home and I fell down on my bed and I was weeping. I didn't even eat lunch that day. I was so torn up over it all. And I prayed and I asked God. I said, Lord, please help. And so I prayed on and on. Then shortly before 5 o'clock, I was reminded, hey, you need to get ready to go to church. So I got back up. And after I'd been praying, I just like verses started coming to my mind. that the Lord had spoken. And this man had taught me much in Scripture. And I knew then that I must use what he had taught me. And because he had fallen by the wayside, I wasn't following him. I'm following Christ. 75% or more of the people in that church left because he left. So what does that tell you? Most of them were following him and not following God. I love Pastor Mark. And I know that we all appreciate Pastor Mark. God has appointed him to be our under-shepherd. But we must follow God. And if we follow God, we'll honor our pastor.
Right.
We'll do the right thing, won't
right.
we? We'll be what we ought to be. This church will go forward and we'll see souls saved. We will see missions supported and we'll see great things. And you know, most of the disciples, you remember the story when Peter, after the resurrection and they were all together and Peter said, I go a fishing. What'd they do? They jumped up and they said, yeah, let's go fish. I'll go with you. And so they did. Okay. Well, you know what happened. The time's run out. The bell's ringing. But anyway, you know what happened. They didn't catch any fish or nothing happened. And who were they following? They should have been following Christ, but they were following Peter. Okay. God, take the message. Use it for your glory. Help us all to be better servants for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your attention.
Amen. Well, that was good, wasn't it?
When a person determines that they're going to follow Christ, then what man does, it'll affect you, but it's not going to change you.
That's right.
I determined years ago that I wanted to follow the Lord.
Amen.
And I've seen enough in churches to, you know, these people that say, well, I ain't going back to church. He's this and that and that and that and other. Well, those are people that's following man.
That's right. And
looking at man. And, you know, if you look at me long enough, you're going to find fault. I mean, you'll find it pretty quick. But you look at him, you're not going to find nothing wrong. You're not going to find anything wrong with my Lord. Amen. Praise his name. Girls, you're just going to come sing for us tonight. Come sing one. Come sing two. And we'll have our last preacher. Amen. All these things should be added unto you.
Amen.
There's nothing too hard for him.
Amen.
I sincerely pray that the Lord comes. But if he doesn't, I want to have a good time serving the Lord this year.
Amen.
Worshiping the Lord and
Amen.
And trying to win our people, drawing closer to the Lord.
Amen.
Concentrate on that, your Christian life, drawing closer to the Lord, getting closer to him. Amen. You'll be in better shape the closer you are to him.
Amen.
All right, Brother Josh, you come and finish this off tonight. I have enjoyed the preaching and the singing. Amen. It's been a blessing.
1 John chapter number 1. I love how the Lord works. Brother Ben's message lined up with Brother Carl's message, and my message lines up with Brother Carl's message. So if you were to put a rhyme on all three of these, how to survive in 2025, it's to walk in the light, follow after the good shepherd, follow after the good shepherd. Who are you following? Walk in the light. So I'll be preaching on walking in the light. 1 John chapter number 1. We'll read into 1 chapter number 1, and then we'll read into chapter number 2 a little bit. But starting verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we may also have fellowship with us truly, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and have declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter number 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I say amen to that. And he is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. Amen. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Amen. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And I want to stop right there. I'll see if I can't hit every point that I've got. I may not be able to, because I wrote a lot of notes. Because this is one of them messages you could preach on and on and on and tire yourself out. But like I said, what I want to preach on is walking in the light. Verse number 6, if we look at it in chapter number 1, verse number 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse number 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse number 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In chapter 2, verse 9, we didn't get down there, I don't think, but in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Yeah. Verse number 11 in chapter 2 says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness he hath blinded his eyes. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'll flip over there. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 3, I love reading through this chapter. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Through all those verses that I just read, which is quite a few, but in all of those we can see kind of a trend going on in all of those. It's the opposite of light. When we walked in darkness, we lied. We in verse number 6, the first one that I read, we lie and do not the truth. Right. In verse number 8 that I read, and the truth is not in us.
Right.
In the other verse, the truth is not, I didn't write that part down. I'm all the way over in Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. They They claim that they have God, but they walk not in the light. They do not walk in the light, and they lie. The truth is not in them. Verse number 9 of chapter 2. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. You see that a whole lot. You'll see a so-called Christian. They'll say, oh, you know, I go to church, this and that. They try to act all spiritual. But when you get to talking about someone that they may not have a particular liking to, they got more to say about them than they have to say about the Bible. And I think that verse right there is a good representation of the people that's like that. Lord, help us that we don't become that. And then verse number 11 right there, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. That not only are they in darkness, but they're trying to walk around in darkness. I don't know about you, but I've tried to walk around when it was pitch black and I stubbed my toe, I hit my head, and I did all kinds of hurt to myself. You know what I'm saying? They're walking around in darkness. They don't know where they're going, and they're actively doing it. They're not looking for the light. They're not feeling around, trying to look for the light switch. They're just wandering around. They're comfortable being in the darkness. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, dead in trespasses and sins, and we walked according to the course of this world. In verse number 2, verse number 3, we've fulfilled the lust of the flesh. All of those things are a clear representation of those that walk in darkness, and we see that. Everywhere, oh my soul, it is everywhere. We see that, and you wonder how many people are truly walking in darkness and have not the light. We'll flip over to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8, verse 42 and 44, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and they're having this whole conversation, argument, back and forth, whatever you want to call it. And I don't have time to read the whole thing. I ain't got time to read all that. But in verse number 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. We just read how when we walked in darkness in Ephesians, we walked after the lust of our flesh. We walked after lust. And you know, in verse 44, it says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him.
Right.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Right.
Every single one of those that we read, that's starting to line up pretty good, I would say, in John chapter 1. If we say that we're in the light, we lie. You know, if we're walking in darkness and we say that we're walking in light, we lie. That sounds a whole lot like the trending of the devil. Sounds exactly what he does. That sounds a whole lot what the Lord said right there. Ye are of your father, the devil. If we're going around saying, oh, well, I go to Mission Hill, you know, so I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But you walk in the light, you're a liar. That's what the Bible says. That's not what Josh Doherty says. That's what the Bible says. That you are of your father, the devil.
That's right, Lord.
Verse number 12 in John chapter 8, though, I think is very interesting. Then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's a whole lot of people in this world that'll claim that Jesus is not God. I work with several. I know several. Oh, my soul. Jesus was a good man. I've heard that come straight from someone's mouth at me. And I'm like, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Jesus says right here, because even the Pharisees were trying to debunk that he was God. They were like, we know you. We know where you came from. There's another story. I won't get into that. It'll take up way too much time. But they were saying, We know you. You're from Nazareth. We know you. We know your mama. We know your daddy. And he said, you don't know my daddy. You don't know my father. And then right here in John chapter number 8, he said, you are of your father the devil. But there's a whole lot of people in this world. This is where I was going. There's a whole lot of people in this world that'll try to look for light in this direction, in that direction, trying to grab it from a bottle, trying to watch videos, trying to do this and do that to try to find the light, to try to find any bit of glimmer in their life, but they can't find it unless they go to Jesus. Jesus is that light. In verse number 12, that's what it says. And spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is that light. So if we're walking in the light, as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. Verse number 7, I don't remember marking that. So when he, I believe I marked the wrong thing. But we, 100% marked the wrong thing. But in Matthew, we'll look over in Matthew. And I'm blessed to remember this verse just about by heart from when I was a young kid over in Robbinsville. We had this verse so often in school. But anyways, it's Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. And it says, ye are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that... I read that wrong, and I've read that wrong for a while. Ye are the light of the world, period. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The verse right under that, verse number 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse number 16, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. I did not see that until just now, reading that. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. I used to just read that all in one go. Ye are the light of the world, a city on a hill. That's not what it says. Ye are the light of the world, period. Yes. A city that is set up on a hill cannot be hid. Amen. If you go out right now, and you look towards Franklin up in the sky, if it ain't too cloudy up in the sky, you can see the light coming from Franklin. If you look towards Hazeville, you'll see a little bit less light, but you'll see light shining off in the distance. If you had that same light and you put it way in a valley, like say Nantahala, Nantahala is off in a valley. You ain't going to see lights. If you look towards Nantahala, you are not going to see lights from Nantahala. Both of those are in a wide open place. A city set up on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel to hide it. They don't put it under something so that they can hide it. You put it on display. Not for the candle's sake. Where is the candle holding the light? The light is... Oh, my soul. I ran out of time. I'm at 5 seconds. But we're the candle. We're holding that light. We're the reflection of that light. We need to lift up that light and walk in the light as he is in the light.
Thank the Lord.
Amen. I enjoyed that, didn't you?
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. These guys didn't get together and say, hey, what are you preaching? And are you listening? And the Lord surely did line those up. Amen. Just a blessing. Usually I start off with Brother Josh because he's the youngest. Then go to Brother Ben, then go to Brother Carl. But this evening... the Lord had me do it just the way it was. And I just kind of stirred, just the pot was stirred, amen? And it all fell just the way it needed to fall.
Amen.
Praise God. Lord, help us to walk in the light.
Amen.
Listen, there's not but one true light.
Amen.
And we have it. It's God's Word.
Amen.
We can walk in the light of the Scripture.
Amen.
It tells us how to walk, tells us how to live, tells us how to be saved. Amen. It tells us how to reach others. It tells us how to pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And God help us to follow the Lord, to do our best to follow the Lord.
Amen.
All right, let's all stand together.